That's what it's written for. And it's God just reveals this to us over a period of time. Now, the example in the Bible of this is a lot of them, but one of them was the nation of Israel. And God took those people, and they were in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. Egypt was a picture of the world. So they were in bondage to the world, and God sent Moses, and just like he sent Jesus, God sent Moses to the nation of Israel, delivered them from Egypt. Now, that whole thing is a picture of Jesus Christ coming and delivering you from the clutches of the enemy. That's what God did. But he just didn't leave it there. He started meeting with them. They went out into this wilderness area, and he started meeting with them on a daily basis. And the idea was that they were to meet, every single one of those people were to meet with him. But something very interesting took place, and I mentioned this last time. God finally told Moses, he said, I want you to take a tent, and I want you to set it up outside the camp. Now, there was about 2 to 3 million people here we're talking. And he said, I want you to set this tent up out there, and I want the people to come out and meet with me. Well, the people looked at the whole situation, and they decided they didn't want to do that. They decided they want Moses to go out to the tent and meet the Lord and then come back and tell them what the Lord said. That was never God's intention. It was God's intention that they would go out and they would meet with the Lord personally. But it said they stood in the door of their tents and they just watched Moses as he went into the tent, and they watched him when he came out. And there was a young man there named Joshua, and he would go in the tent, and he never wanted to leave. He wanted to just stay there all the time, right in the presence of God. Don't you know God loved that? And don't you know, would it be strange to think that God would pick him to lead the nation after Moses was gone? Because God wanted to pick somebody that loved him and loved his presence. And that's what God's looking for today. He's looking for people that love the presence of God. You know, not just on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday evening, but every single day he wanted to meet with you. He wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with me. He wants us to learn now to have a relationship, develop it now, so that it'll be just that much stronger later when we're with him. That's the idea. That's why you were saved. That's why you were born again. There was no other reason. God didn't just save a bunch of people and said, okay, do what you want to do out there, and I'll just look at you occasionally and see if everything's okay. It's not that kind of a deal. We're supposed to be meeting God. And so last time I talked about the fact and spent the whole time talking about the fact God wanted to meet you on a daily basis. It's good to have somebody like Moses, and it's good to have pastors and evangelists and all of these people that give you the Word of God. That's good, but you need to study it on your own. You need to be in the Word of God on your own. We talked about that. And today I want to talk about the fact that God wants to speak to you personally. Last time I talked about the fact God wanted to be with you. Now I want to talk about the fact God wants to speak to you. God has never quit speaking ever since he spoke and the world was created. He spoke and it was done. Everything was created. He spoke trees into being and flowers into being and all these things, the planets into being, and he spoke. And God's still speaking. And he wants to speak to you. He actually wants to have a conversation with you. And that has to be developed. It just doesn't happen automatically. You have to develop this thing. God didn't want you to get saved and say, okay, I'll wait till I get to heaven and I'll talk to God. No, we get saved. We get born again. We're in the family of God. We have certain promises of God. But now the The thing is that very simply, he wants to have a conversation with you. Not only does he want to spend time with you, he wants to speak to you. Now, there's different names when God speaks, and when you read the Word of God, it's all the Word of God, but there's different names for that, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But I'm going to tell you right now, Israel failed in this. As a nation, they failed. Now, individuals in Israel did not fail, but Israel failed. And that's why they're in the mess they're in today in the Middle East. People want to get rid of them. People want to wipe them off the map. There are many major nations in the world today that say, if we just get rid of Israel, then all the problems would be over. Well, they're talking about God's people. Even though the God's people are not in communication with God in the sense we're talking about, they failed. That's why they're in the mess. But I'm going to tell you something. The exact same thing is happening to the United States. Why? Because God's people are not communicating with him. And so we're in the same boat. They're lumping us together with Israel. And you think that's by accident? I don't think so. They say, well, if we get rid of Israel and the United States, then the world is going to be in peace. Now, there's a lot of nations that believe that. Why is that? Because the church in this country, if I can put it this way, is failing God. Now, it started many years ago, where the churches started dividing up in various camps, denominations, and all these things. And this denomination talks about this, and that denomination talks about that, and this denomination talks about something else, when God wanted the whole thing put together in every church, you see. Now, I start talking about having a conversation with God. Some people start squirming in their pew. Say, wait a minute here. Just that's exactly what they did in Israel. Moses said, God wants to talk to you. Go out to the tent and have a conversation with God. And they said, whoa, wait a minute. If we go out in that tent, he's going to know every single thing about us. If we go out in that tent, he's going to know everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do, like he doesn't know anyway. And they said, nope, no way, Jose, we're not going to do that. What we're going to do is we're going to have Moses go into the tent and have him come out and tell us what God says, and then we'll decide if we want to do it or not. Big mistake. Big mistake. Every one of those people, except two, that went into the tent, or excuse me, even Moses died in there. He really did. But there's two guys. One guy's named Caleb, another guy named Joshua. All the rest of them died in the wilderness and never got into the promised land. Now, that's not salvation. That's not what it means. It means they never went into that relationship with God. And if you're a Christian, you don't develop that relationship here, you're going to have to take time to do it in heaven, and you're going to lose a lot of things that God wanted you to have. So it is extremely important that you have this relationship to God. Now, you have to know how to hear God's voice, and I'm going to tell you how he speaks today. And I'm going to tell you how you can know God's voice. I'm going to do a little series on how to know the voice of God, how to hear the voice of God, how to know it when you hear it, and so forth, how to communicate with God. I'm going to talk about that because it's so important, because if we don't turn this around in the church today, we're in big trouble. If we don't start hearing from God and listening to God, we're going to be in big trouble. Now, I'm going to tell you how you should hear. It is not because I'm the pastor. God speaks to you in the same way. You're just not listening and you're not seeing it and you're not realizing this is God. Now, I'm going to tell you something that happened this morning. God showed me an ear. I just saw an ear. I didn't see anything else. I just saw an ear. And I knew that was God. And I knew that God wanted me, need to pray for somebody that had a problem with their ear. Now, I think God did that just to demonstrate how to hear from God, because that's what I'm going to be preaching on. It's not that I'm any different than you, because I am not. I have to listen to God just like you do. I have to see God. But over a period of time, you begin to understand and you begin to see. And God speaks to different people in different ways. Now, he just showed me an ear. I didn't know. Betty got up. She said, "My ear's bleeding. I got all these problems." I said, "Well, that told me two things. Number one, that was God. And number two, Betty, one of God's people, was hurting, and he wanted to take care of it." Showed us the love of God. Now, isn't that great? I don't always get those words. Other people do, and they tell me, and I call it out. I don't get all of those words. So you are very necessary in the body of Christ, because God is going to speak to you something he may not speak to me, or he may not speak to somebody over here. He's going to speak to you, and if you don't let that be known, then because God works through us. He could have bent down and zapped her ear and healed it this morning. But he didn't choose to do it that way. He chose in this case to use me. But in many cases, God wants to use you. And here's the issue. There's a lot of people that will fail to get healed if you're not listening to God. That's the issue. There's some people going to fail to get saved because God's saying, go witness to that person, and you didn't recognize God's voice when he spoke to you. We should do it anyway, but the issue is sometimes he says, talk to that person, you see. And that's one of the things that has not been taught in the church in general, and therefore people just come, they listen to the word of God, take some notes, and go home. And they missed the whole thing. They missed what God wanted to do now, today, in this place. Now, last time we talked about God wants you to know him. We talked about that is such an intimate relationship. He wants us to know him. So be so familiar with him, we would know when God speaks. We know when God acts. We would know it's the Lord, because there's other voices in this world besides God's. And we need to know the difference. And so we need to know how to hear the voice of God. To some of you, this would be reviews. To some of you who hear God, just pray. Be praying now that we all get it, so that God can work, because God has chosen to work through you. Yes, he uses angels. Yes, he uses other things and other ways. But the fact is, he wants to use you and he wants to use me. And it's not only just using us. It's a matter of knowing us and us knowing him. Him and us and you and him. And you got a unity there that God desires. Why does God, who have everything, who didn't need anything, why in the world did he create us in the first place? Because of love. That's what God is. Love has to have an object to love, a person to love. If you're full of love, you can't keep that to yourself. You must give it to somebody else. And that's exactly why God put us here on this earth. He had no other reason than to do that. That's why the Bible says time after time, God is love. Now, the problem is we are not. And so we need that in us that can only come from God. You see. That's what this Bible is all about. That's what church is all about. That's what the whole thing is all about. We don't come to church to get something all the time. I hope we should be coming to church to give something. God, speak to me today. I want to hear your voice. God, I want to worship you. I want to praise you. Yes, I want your blessings, God, but help me bless somebody else. That's what this thing is all about. The church should be a love feast. Incidentally, we're going to have a fellowship dinner, I believe, next Sunday. Is that correct? Well, you need to start inviting people. Some people come to eat. They won't come for anything else, but maybe something will fall on them while they're here. Amen? Well, invite them. But here, this is the whole issue. It's what it's all about. A lot of times we talk around all these things, but we don't get to the very center of what God's doing. So we want to do that. So last time, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I will obtain to the resurrection life in the kingdom of God. That is Philippians 3:10. I added some things, but just for meaning, but that's what it is. And that's the issue, that I might know him. That's number one. And I would say number two, that I might hear him. It kind of goes together, but you get the idea. Now, in the first place, you have to desire to know him. You have to ask God. If you don't have it, ask God for it. Say, Lord, I desire to know you. And I desire to hear you. And if you don't feel like worshiping and you don't understand what worship is, that's a very interesting thing. But you know what the real definition of worship is? Kissing the Son. Kissing the Son of God. Now, we know somebody that kissed the Son. It was a kiss of death. His name was Judas. And that's why God's so blessed when you kiss him. Because it's kissing for life, you see. Kiss the Son. Lay it on him. I said, lay it on him. Come on Sunday and start kissing the Son the minute you come in the door. Start loving him. That's what we do. The church is to love the Son of God. Bible says, kiss the Son lest he be angry. Very interesting. I don't think God really gets upset about a whole lot of anything else right at the present time, other than the fact when his own kids don't kiss him. I remember when I grew up, I wasn't in a huggy-feely type family. I wasn't in that. We didn't do that. You just loved each other if you did your job or if you did your work or if you did everybody else. They called that love. Well, every once in a while we'd go visit some family and they were just hugging people and kissing people. Man, I was running the other way. I said, get away from me. You know, I'm not used to this stuff. Particularly, you know, well, I won't get into that. But anyway, the issue is, if you're not a lover, you need to learn how to be one. And if you haven't got it in you and you didn't have it at home and you weren't taught that at home, then you need to get it from God now. You ought to be the most loving person as a son and daughter of God on this planet, because God is love. And if you don't know how to do it, ask him. He'll be glad to show you. We need to desire him. We need to worship him. We need to read and meditate on the word of God. That means think about it after you read it. Ask God to speak through his word. Those are just basic things we should be doing. We need to be obedient. When we know God told us to do something, we need to do it as quickly as possible. And, of course, we were created, as I say, to have fellowship with God. John 14, let's look at it quickly. John 14, we're going to look at some scriptures. John 14, 21. If you're out there and listening, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. John 14, 21 says, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me." Now, what that means is you need to be listening to God. And when he tells you something, you do it. He said, that's part of love. That's part of love. It's not the whole thing. Some people just say, well, I'm doing what God wants me to do, so everything's okay. Well, not really. He said, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Underline manifest. That means if you love God, he's going to show himself to you. He is going to be totally open to you. Nothing held back. Some people, that really bothers them. Wait a minute. If I know him, then he's going to know me, and I may have to change something, and hallelujah. That's good. The point is, the more you're in the presence of God, the more changes will take place, and you'll begin to be like him. And when you're like Christ, then you're ready for the kingdom of God. Then you're ready to be with him in eternity. You're not ready until that happens in this life. When you start learning this love and learning these things, you're not ready for the kingdom of God until you learn these things. So we were created to fellowship with God. We were created to love God. It doesn't mean we love God necessarily because we sing. There's a whole lot of people that sing very mechanically. And when I sing, I want to visualize God listening. I always think, and I've said this before, usually, I don't know what they're doing with the new president, but with the older presidents, they always had around Christmas time, they'd have a whole bunch of entertainers come, and the president sat on the front row, and they were to entertain the president and all of his guests. And they would sing and dance and do all these things they did, and the president there would just be soaking it all up, and he just loved it. And that's the way it is when we worship God when we come. He's there just soaking this up. We're singing for God. We're singing for the Lord. We're singing not for him, we're singing to him, you see. And that's what some of this thing about worshiping is. And, of course, we hear what God says and we want to follow him every day and do what he tells us to do. Look in 1 John 5:3. 1 John, not John, 1 John, towards the end of your Bible. 1 John 5, 3. It just keeps saying this all over the place. Now I'm going to tell you what this means. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." In other words, it's not a hard thing because we so learn God that what he wants us to do becomes such a part of us that it's just automatic. It's just like brushing your teeth in the morning. You do what God wants you to do. And it's not burdensome. It's not a problem. It's easy. It's just there because you're so close to God and all these things are happening. And we're going to do these works with love, or all the R's just works if we don't do them with love. And that's not real easy today. Look in Matthew 24, 12. Matthew 24 and verse 12. I remember going to this church. I've said this before, and everybody carried their Bible to church, and I said, boy, these are a bunch of fanatics. I didn't have my Bible. And I said, I'm not going back there. They're too fanatical for me. Then I got saved. You understand? Matthew 24, 12. "And because iniquity shall abound," I want you to see this, Because iniquity will abound. You know, they used to, all of the prostitutes and the gay pride people and all that stuff, years ago, that was all off in the corner of the town someplace, and nobody ever saw it. It was kind of hidden there. But now they parade it all over the place, and it's on television. That's what it's talking about here, about iniquity, as well as other things. And it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. Look at this. The more iniquity abounds and becomes part of society and is welcomed by society, the colder the hearts of the people. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. But it says, because of the iniquity of this world, that people's hearts are getting cold. Even in the church, we're going to see. The Bible really says there are three kinds of believers today. I say three kinds of believers. Look in Revelation 3. It tells us three kinds of believers today. And you say, well, you talking about me? Well, are you a believer? Then you're in one of these three categories, if you're a believer. It's talking to the seventh church, the very last church, and that means in the age that we're in now. It means in the end times. Every church represents an age here, all seven churches, from the time of Christ till now. And the last church is representing the time we live in now. And he's speaking to believers, and he said, unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write. Now God is speaking to John, and John is writing these things down on the Isle of Patmos, if you know the history of it. And these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's the names for Christ. I like it. He's called Amen. He's called faithful. He's called the true witness. He's called the beginning of all things. The seed of everything came from God, including you. So that makes us responsible to him, I would say. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold or hot, two categories. And I would that you at least be cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Well, some people think that means going to hell. No, that means to be retrained. You're going to have to start over. That's what that means. Okay? Because you said, I'm rich and increased in goods, and I've got a job, and the money's coming in. Hallelujah. I don't need God so much now. I really don't have need of anything, and know not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked in the sight of God. Talking about spiritually, primarily. I counsel you to buy me gold. That's get a relationship with Christ that's vibrant and alive. Tried in fire. You'll go through the tribulation, but you'll come out the other side praising Jesus. That thou may be rich in white raiment. That represents the righteousness of Christ. And thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes with salve, that you might see the things of God. As many as I love, I rebuke, chasten, and do whatever's necessary to bring them in a relationship with me. And I added there, but that's what it means. That is the heart cry of the living God. When he died on the cross, he said, it's finished. Now the relationship can begin. I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now I'm going to talk about these three categories very quickly. Some are cold. They know God's laws, but they don't do them. They just got a cold. They're cold in their heart. They probably were warm and hot at one time, but they kind of cooled down. The honeymoon's over, and they've kind of got it comfortable, and it's good. And that's one of the reasons God's shaking up this nation. We got too comfortable, and we left God out. We said we don't need him anymore. We don't need him in government. We can have government without you, God. Well, thank you for helping us in the beginning, but we don't need you now. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Lord, thank you. I got married. I got a family. I've got good jobs. I've got pretty much. I got a nice house. Lord, I don't need you now. I got all these things going, and I'm successful in the world, and I'm too busy, and I know I just come to church every once in a while, and I know I seldom read the Bible, but I'm glad I'm going to heaven, cold as ice. Cold as ice. And then some are hot, hallelujah. They're consumed with seeking God on a daily basis. They want to keep his word. They want to walk in obedience. They want to walk in love. They want to pursue holiness. They want to grab all that they can, if you want to put it this way, the kingdom gusto they can. They want to grab it all. Get every bit they can get. Don't let anything that God planned for them get by without being involved. They're regularly in the Word of God. They're in church constantly. And they desire to please God and not man. That's a big one. The ones that cold want to please man. The ones that hot want to please God. You see. The longer you're with the Lord, the hotter you ought to get. I said, you know, I want to be just like Paul. I don't care if I have anything. When it's my time to go with the Lord, all I want to have is what God had wanted me to do in this life. And then I'm ready. Hallelujah. You see. That's it. This is a Christian life I'm talking about. This is it. It isn't all these things you've heard. It's what God says in his word is what it is. Oh, they're ready to pray anytime for anybody. Those that are cold don't even pray for themselves. They don't need it unless they get in trouble. And then they're on their knees crying out to God, you see. Well, that's where we ought to be if we're cold, because we need a relationship with God. I didn't say you weren't saved. That's between you and the Lord, not me. They're hot. They're going to be a friend of God. They're going to be given to the Lord's work faithfully. They don't have a problem when the offering comes. They can't wait to get that offering out there and put it in the plate of God because it's so pleasing to Jesus. And a little side effect is he'll also bless you. You see. And you're going to be serving in the local church. You're going to ask God, you got a ministry? I'll do it. I want to die to myself. That's a big one. Myself gets in the way. My own stuff gets in the way. My own thoughts get in the way. Lord, I don't want that. I want you in there. If I hear music, I want it to be Christian music. Other music's okay. I'm not saying it's not, but you ought to be listening to Christian music some, and you should be drawing closer to the Lord. In fact, you should be so close to the Lord when you die, it'd be just like stepping over into the new life. And you can't wait to get there. Some people are holding on to this life, and they're in their deathbed, and they're holding on to this life and holding on to anything, and they haven't got power to hold on to anything, and it's all leaving them, and they're all messed up, and they just... Well, you get the picture. But you know who God really has a problem with? The lukewarm folks. The lukewarm folks. He said, for Pete's sakes, either be hot or cold. Lukewarm was awful. And I'll tell you what the reference was to, that there was a lot of cities, if they were in mountainous country, they'd get their water from the mountains and they would build these aqueducts and be like a little stream of water flowing into the city out of the mountains. That's where they got their drinking water and everything, the water they used. And it'd come out of that mountain so cool and nice. And by the time it got down to the city, it'd be lukewarm. Wasn't really hot or cold, it just kind of floating around there. Lukewarm is people that transform themselves into whoever they're associated with at the time. Let me give you that again. If they're with somebody hot for God, they act like they're hot for God. If they're with somebody that's cold for God, they act like they're cold for God. They just whichever the way the wind blows and whichever way the temperature is and all that kind of thing. And it's whatever's going on around them. If things are bad, then they're down terribly. If things are up, then they're flying. And it's just the emotions are running the whole show, and it's really a mess. And they're mixed with the world, and they're mixed with the following of Jesus, and it's all mixed up into one big thing. I remember one time this guy was telling me, he sat down with this guy to eat, and they had maybe four different kinds of food on the plate, and this guy just took a big spoon and just mixed the whole thing together. And just loved it. He couldn't eat. He was watching this guy. He couldn't even eat his food. He said, just drove him crazy. Guy just mixed everything together and just ate it, you know. He wouldn't know what he was eating, you know. It was all one big blob there on the plate. And here he was trying to eat a pea here and then a little piece of tomato over here. And, you know, he was going to enjoy it. He was going to enjoy the flavor of each one of these things he was eating. And lukewarm people just mix the whole mess together. Christ, everything else you can think of, worldly stuff, they don't have any problem. Just mix the whole thing together. As long as you got a little bit of God, you're going to be all right. Actually, that's called religion, if you really want to know is what it is. And you know what religion is? It's man's way of keeping God at a safe distance. Are you listening? Religion is man's way of keeping God at a safe distance. That's religion. And God hates it. He really does. He hates it. Follow Christ when it's convenient and good for them and in their interest, and then if it's something else comes along, they follow that. I noticed something over the years. As Grace and I go to garage sales, that's what we do. That's our recreation. I'm getting so tired of people's junk, I tell you. But anyway, I've noticed something very interesting over the last couple of years. You see fewer and fewer of Christian things in garage sales. And we're seeing more and more of New Age books and that kind of stuff. Something is going on, folks. There's way too many. Some people are mixing the New Age and they're mixing this and they're mixing something else. And it's not necessary, because I'm telling you, you're around God, it's exciting. It's exciting. And I'll explain why in just a minute. And I will close shortly. But the lukewarm, I'm going to give you a little more on this. They're one thing at church and another way at home. You know anybody like that? One thing at church and another way at home. There's something wrong with that. It's called, you see, you don't know where you belong. And it's kind of like God said, I'll tell you what God said that's like. He said, this lukewarmness is like eating rotten hamburger and vomiting it up. I should have said that after lunch instead of before, right? But that's what God says. I'm just telling you how it is. Either get right with God or you lose out. I didn't say you wouldn't go to heaven. I don't threaten anybody with that. That's between you and God. If you don't worship God at home, you're probably not going to worship Him at church. I'll just tell you the way it is. If you don't worship God outside of church ever, you're probably not going to worship when you get to church. You might sing the songs, but you won't be worshiping. And I'll tell you another little interesting situation. Some people always say, well, you have a crisis in your life, it makes you stronger. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. If you have a crisis in your life, it's going to show you and everybody else who you are. If you're strong in God, you'll come out the other side strong in God. If you're weak in God, you're going to come out the other side weak in God. Maybe weaker. The only thing that a crisis is going to do is to show you who you are. And who you hold, who you, I might say whose you are would be a better way to put it, you see. And if you don't not follow the God, you're going to fail. So a crisis is only going to reveal what's happening. Now, if you are full of God when the crisis comes, you're going to come out the other side and you will be stronger. You will be stronger. Now, if you don't have a loving relationship with Christ, it's very hard to turn to Him in a time of trial. If you don't have a relationship with Him. If you do, it's easy. The biggest problem with the lukewarm people is they're a hindrance to everybody around them. They are a hindrance for God to work in the people around you if you're lukewarm. You keep people from God, you see. And I'm not preaching to anybody but myself, so don't get all disturbed. So if you have a secret, if you want to put it this way, relationship with God in your secret time, in your quiet time, in the Word of God, then when you're out in public, you're going to make a difference for good. The secret of a Christian life is to have a life in the background full of God. That's the secret of the whole thing. Now, one scripture and I'm done. John 1:48. John 1:48. Well, if you're still there, say amen. Amen. All right. John 1:48. Well, let's start before that. Let's go into 47, John 1:47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there's no guile. Verse 48, Nathanael said unto him, how do you know me, Lord? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now what that means is, and he called Nathanael to be a disciple, And Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" And he said, "I saw you when you were at home in your personal time with me. I saw you under the tree praying. I saw you under the tree at home reading the Bible. I saw you seeking me at home. So I already know you, and I'm going to call you to be a disciple." Are you listening? That's the whole thing. If this is all you have, let's stand before the Lord. Elders come, musicians.